Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observation Podcast for Thursday, November 1st, 2018. How is it November already? I hope everyone else is asking that question too, because it sure snuck up on me. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have a couple of people to talk about the stories of the day. I have Jeff Gamut with me. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Kelly. It's fun to be here again. I have to say, I'm enjoying not having to do edits or post-productions on the show.
I bet. And also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going?
Going pretty well. And actually, I want to start with you, Andrew. You posted a story this morning about carriers and eSIMs and updates, and I'd like you to take our listeners through that.
Yeah, so it turns out that Verizon is having problems with its eSIM rollout, which is, you know, obviously annoying.
Yes.
according to my research, all of the carriers were supposed to be ready for this at launch, but they're not.
And right. What a shock.
Right. Well, AT&T has a long and storied history of being late to the party. I think it was it MMS, like attaching a picture to a text message, was a really unreasonable thing for like a year after AT&T said it was going to be a thing. Jeff, you might remember.
I forgot about that. But yeah, I remember.
Good times.
Yeah, good times. Yeah, AT&T has always had an excuse for why they can't do something that they've had years to prepare for.
Mm-hmm. It's not like this was secret.
Oh, we didn't do this. Give us more money.
Yeah, we have to raise everybody's bill now by $3 a month to pay for the thing that we knew was coming 3 years ago. So, yeah. Prepare for the 5G high price hike, kids. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. I bet. So have any of the carriers said when they expect that they will have their eSIM support?
So it sounds like for most of them, it's by the end of the year.
Okay, so not terrible.
But they should still be embarrassed.
Absolutely. I'm 100% for name and shame if that's what needs to happen. Because the way it was portrayed when we saw this announcement from Tim Cook when they were talking about eSIM support, the way it sounded was eSIM support is a thing on the horizon. It's going to be in the 12.1 iOS update. So you can't do it till then. And there was no inkling on stage that the carriers weren't going to be ready when 12.1 was released. And now 12.1 is out, and here we are.
Yep. So the specific problem that these people are having is if you set your Verizon eSIM in the primary position, and then you select your physical SIM card, put it in the secondary position. So then, for some reason, that kicks down your connection down to, like, 2G.
Ooh!
And also, it doesn't have any support for MMS. So that means...
Ah, like, so it is exactly like it used to be. That's really terrible. Wow. So maybe don't do that for the next couple months. So hopefully anybody who's traveling to other countries for Christmas isn't going to have some sort of eSIM problem, and at least they're going to be able to swap out the physical card instead, would be my hope.
Actually, it only affects people in the U.S. So if you're an international roamer and you go on that, it's not going to affect you. But just make sure, before you travel back, put your physical SIM card back as the primary status.
Oh, geez.
That's just awesome.
Wow. Yeah, once again, the rest of the world looks at the United States and our mobile technology and goes, that's cute.
Yeah, bless their little hearts.
Bless their hearts. Paying all that money and that's all they get for it. Interesting. So there's a PSA for people who, if you know enough about eSIMs to know that you were excited when this was announced, and you know enough about how they operate, then you should definitely know that you may not want to do it yet. It's coming. It's just not here. And thanks for that, carriers. That's awesome. So PSA out there for everybody. What I want to talk about next is an article, Jeff, that you posted this morning. I want to talk about the news of it, about Apple mm-hmm. wanting to, possibly, I don't know if this is, I don't think this was an announced thing. I think this was like a, we're hearing, you know, word on the street is, iHeartMedia mm-hmm. and Apple entering into some sort of relationship.
Yeah, so the backstory is that iHeartMedia is in a financially bad place, and they're like $20 billion in debt. And
which is interesting because aren't they like every radio station now?
Yeah, there are over 800 radio stations across the United States. They're the single largest radio broadcast company in the United States, and yet somehow they've managed to get $20 billion in debt. So they've been shopping around trying to find investors, and apparently they have entered into negotiations with Apple, where Apple may buy a partial interest in the company. And it's still kind of in the early stages, it sounds like. And of course, Apple isn't confirming or denying anything. And iHeartMedia is not either, because if they actually are having negotiations, which it sounds like they are, because why would you give the neither confirm nor deny statement if you aren't actually in negotiations? So, you know, they can't talk publicly about it.
Yeah.
Now, for Apple, what this could mean is that they could get a wider audience for Beats Radio or mm-hmm. Beats One.
Yeah.
And then if they do that, then it puts Apple in a much stronger position to negotiate exclusive deals and first run deals with artists and labels. So new album comes out exclusively for Apple Music and Beats One, sort of thing. And then Spotify misses out for a little while. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is one of the things that all the streaming music services want, that they want to have those exclusives, because that's a great draw for new subscribers. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it is right now.
So one thing I want to point out is that I don't know how many people know about Beats One and how Beats One has a lot of shows. So you can go and find like the list of, you know, the November lineup or whatever. Zane Lowe, I know, still has a show regularly. I don't remember. I want to say that Dr. Dre has one too, and I'm thinking who's the one I'm thinking of? Nicki Minaj, I think. I don't know if it's regular, but I know that she's been that she has done a show on Beats One before. I don't know if it's like a regular thing that she does or not. So there's a pretty wide variety of folks that do that. I don't know if it's, but I know that they get people into the studio, like sort of, you know, one off things. To do a special episode of something, you know, and broadcast that on Beats One. So there's a whole lot there that goes on. So being able to maybe just let Zane Lowe do his 3-hour show, but also have it on terrestrial radio, I guess we would call it, sounds mm-hmm. interesting. So,
well, Apple also just hired away another BBC radio DJ.
Oh.
And I'm now completely drawing a blank on his name. That I believe this happened in October.
Okay.
And the thing is, he has like a crazy popular show on BBC Radio. His DJ mix show thing. Mm-hmm. And he actually owns the rights to his own show. So
nice.
He's coming over to Apple and he's taking his crazy popular show with him. So that, I mean, that could be a cool thing for Apple to be Beats Radio deal with iHeartMedia.
Yeah, I think that's going to be pretty interesting. Mostly because I'm curious about that. Like, if it's a super crazy popular radio show, how that would translate basically here? Because, like, what makes for good radio in the UK may not be what makes for good radio here. And I only say that because there's people who have done some really cool stuff, like on the radio or musically, you know, in the UK, that just never ends up translating over here. Like, I'm the only person that ever heard about it or something. So I'm
Charlie
interested.
Charlie Sloth. Sorry, his name just popped in my head and then right out my mouth. I was completely incapable of stopping myself.
Okay. That's okay. So, do you think this would be a smart move, Jeff? If this is happening, and it sounds like it is, because like you said, why wouldn't you just deny it if it wasn't true?
Right. And I'm thinking it's probably a really good idea. And it's because right now we have this thing where you have Spotify, you have Tidal, you have Pandora. Anyhow, you have all these different streaming services. Apple Music is one of them.
Yes.
And it really feels like right now it's coming down to Spotify versus Apple Music. Mm-hmm. Like that's the path we're headed down.
Yeah.
And what is it that these companies can offer, or these services can offer, that sets them apart from each other? Because it's not the price. The content, while there's a lot of overlap, yes, there's some differences there. Mm-hmm. And the exclusives are always temporary. So the music differences aren't as big as you would think between the two services.
Right. And when they are, it's a time thing. So, you know, the first month that album came out, it was only available on Spotify, but now you can hear it both places.
Right. And then how do you quantify to potential new subscribers? Well, our playlists are curated better than their playlists. Mm-hmm. We have these smarter algorithms. That doesn't play well with most potential customers, because that's not where their brain goes when they're trying to figure out these different things. What matters is something that's more tangible, more visible. So what sort of content are you getting before you even get into the service? Mm-hmm. Well, Beats One Radio, that's already available to everyone and is designed in part to be a draw into the Apple Music ecosystem. So if you can take that and expand it out to an even larger audience, then you're increasing your potential new subscriber base.
Mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting move. Whether or not it works to their advantage, I don't know. Andrew, what do you think?
I think this is going to be a good deal. If not only just for what Jeff was saying earlier about first rights to all of these new albums. Mm-hmm. And I think that will, you know, give Apple Music definitely a big edge over Spotify. So I think this should be pretty interesting.
Can I jump to the other side of the fence for a few minutes?
Because
we've been doing is saying this is a great idea, but there's reasons why it might be a bad idea too. iHeartMedia is clearly having serious financial trouble. iHeartMedia is clearly having some sort of serious management problem. Mm-hmm. And it's possible that just like a giant spider in a horror movie, where it gets too big and it can't and its own mass is too big and it can't sustain itself anymore.
You just Maybe watched Doctor Who point. This week, didn't you?
Spoiler, sweetie. But
that was terrifying.
iHeartMedia is in a place right now where they've become too big to sustain themselves operating in the way that they currently do. Can they change that? And will throwing a bunch of money at them make that possible? So if Apple gets into a deal with iHeartMedia, is Apple going to be in a position where they have to just keep dumping money into a dying company just to try and get something back out of it?
Now, see, here's the thing is that, well, here's the thing, though, is that I would imagine if Apple was going to make this move, because something always happens whenever Apple buys a company. We find out, you know, like it's an acqui-hire. So, you know, they wanted some of the people or they wanted some of the tech. And then we see that tech pop up in stuff later. And so I would, you know, like with some of those things, and with other things, they sort of end up Apple flavored, pun intended, in their new iteration. So I would imagine that if Apple's not going to write a check and then say, you know, we'll be back next quarter to see how our money is doing. So I wonder if it's like in my head, knowing that iHeartMedia is a massive company and massively in debt, it seems like if Apple was going to write them a check, it would come with a few strings attached. And so
I believe they learned that lesson with their sapphire glass manufacturing debacle.
Yeah. So because we saw what happens when it's just we're going to write you a check and come back later. And it's that. So I have a hunch that whether it's misplaced or not, Apple has a lot of faith in their radio, in the radio piece of Apple Music and how that fits into the larger plan for Apple Music. And so taking what they, you know, if they do end up with this stake in iHeartMedia, they have a plan for how that works. And the money is going to come with some conditions. That would be my presumption, because I don't see Apple being a company to just do that, to just sort of write a check and go, we really hope you figured it out, and then, you know, come back later and see what happened. So that's what, to me, like, I just sort of filled that in myself, you know, in reading about this morning. So I feel like if it's a thing that happens, we're going to find out that, you know, Jimmy Iovine or Dre or somebody else, you know, who's higher up at Beats Music is going to end up spending part of their time on the radio piece, you know, if this is a thing that happens. They're going to spend a significant amount of time on the radio piece. And it may not be a name we know, but it may be somebody higher up who really knows the business inside and out and can help do something to get Apple back on track, or iHeartMedia back on track, you know, for Apple.
Yeah. And I know that I have a bias going into how I look at Apple Music and Beats One Radio, because I'm an Apple Music subscriber, and it's the first subscription music service where I've actually felt fine paying for it. But that said, I'm thinking Apple's in a pretty strong place right now. And it's not like they have to outgrow Spotify today or even next year. What they need to do is keep growing and just keep Apple Music as a strong player in the space. It's not like Highlander. We can have multiple streaming music services.
Yes.
And it's okay.
I mean, we used to do really well with more than one radio station, you know.
Yeah, and ultimately what we have now is one radio station.
Right.
And it's called iHeartMedia.
Okay, that's pretty much true. I'm like, wait, that's not... Oh, yeah, I guess maybe it is. Yeah, we have, I think... I know we have two, possibly three different companies that do radio stations here, but they basically aren't local, you know, in that respect. And they've all gone automated. And honestly, it's a huge piece of why I quit listening to the radio, and I don't mind not hearing stuff on the radio anymore. You know, how do you get new music now, Jeff? I kind of want to ask you this real quick before we go.
I get it from recommendations from friends. What, mm-hmm. One of my favorites now is friends' playlists.
Okay.
In Apple Music. Mm-hmm. But the big thing is, I'm probably getting it from someone I know saying, hey, have you checked out whatever? Mm-hmm. There's also a couple indie radio stations that are in and around Boulder that play a really wide range of content. And so sometimes I'm finding stuff there too.
Okay.
Also, I am in a spot where there's a really good music scene. I mean, it's not like being in, say, Austin, but there's a lot going on. So I go to a lot of bars and other venues around and get to hear up and coming bands.
And there's a lot of music available that way. Yeah.
So basically what I'm doing is very proactively going out and trying to find new stuff as opposed to listening to a radio station to hear what's happening.
All right, Andrew, how about you?
I do a little bit of both, where I proactively, you know, go on Apple Music, browse the genre section and the whatever Apple recommends to me in the For You section, and I'll get stuff that way. I'll also go in the radio section, not necessarily Beats one, but just the genre ones. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of favorites, so I just kind of play that as background music, and if I hear something I like, I can just add it.
Very cool. I do a little of both. I use Spotify's top charts. I am currently not a subscriber to any service in that I do not pay. I have a Spotify account and I enjoy it. I listen to the top charts from other countries. So I listen to like whatever the top 10 is in England and in Germany and, you know, different places to get a feel for stuff that's happening in other places. And then sometimes I'll cruise through the US list if enough of it doesn't sound like music I recognize and get a sample of it that way. And I go out to shows as well and bars and things and listen to bands. So I would like to find out how our listeners find new music, whether it's the Friends Mix or not, or if any of you want to try and convince me to sign up for Apple Music, you could try that too if you wanted to. I'm not sure if it'll work, but you're welcome to try. You can catch us on Twitter at TMO Daily. And Jeff, what's the email address that people can use if they want to send us feedback that way?
Well, they can go to observations@macobserver.com. There's also a Twitter account at TMO Daily.
Yes, there is. you can catch us that way. And with that, I want to thank both of you for being here today. Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Jeff, thanks so much for being on with me today.
Well, sure thing. It's loads of fun.
And I just want to give a quick announcement that later today, Apple has an earnings call where we're going to find out how they did in the previous quarter. So if you want to find out about that, you can tune into TMO for all of the interesting information that comes out of that call later today. And until then, I will talk to everyone tomorrow and be excellent to each other.